of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Matt Arizzo and Loopshire Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We have an awesome show. We have Steve Matt Arizzo on the line from FLA, Florida, and of course we got Steve Loopshire in the house and a fantastic guest. And I want to say this to both Matt Arizzo and Loopshire. The best New Jersey workers' compensation attorneys on the planet, even though outside of New Jersey it doesn't matter as much. But we have a fantastic PA workers' compensation attorney, Caitlin Files of Files Law, in the house. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe, just a couple hours after we were together.
That's right. So Steve Matt Arizzo, I want to say, and I do want to say this to Steve Loopshire, this morning at 10 o'clock, Caitlin Files did her show here in Philly. Now, she does workers' comp across Pennsylvania, but her office is in Bucks County. Mm-hmm. She came down here and stayed the whole day just for you guys.
I appreciate
Let
that,
me
Caitlin.
Tell you how fun it is to find places to go around City Ave for the last 3 hours.
Saks Fifth Avenue is right
Adventures,
across the street.
For sure.
There was law enforcement. There's a shady girl.
She's all creeping around.
She's out of there. But Steve, how you doing, my man?
Well, just to help you out, my partner and I have had lunch right across the street, an excellent Jewish deli from your show.
Katz's?
Yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yes, I am in Florida, 86 degrees while you guys are freezing to death. couple things, Joe. I just, we'll talk workers' comp, but we got to get started on a couple things.
Okay, hit me.
As we always do. And I'm very pleased that some of the city council members in Philadelphia 2 days ago has, as my Jewish partner would say, chutzpah, to stand up to the Sixers and make them accountable for what they're doing. The city of Philadelphia does not need a new stadium in downtown that we couldn't get to even during a non-game. And where are they going to park? And we already have crime down there. Chinatown doesn't want it. This is a money grab by the carpetbagger that owns the Devils, owns the Washington Redskins, and doesn't know anything about Philadelphia. He went to college here, but that means nothing. He's not one of us. So I appreciate that the city council finally stood up and somebody said, well, what are you doing here? This is not helping our city. We have enough crime in the city. We have to support the police officers. Step is going out of business. We got to support them, but we're gonna, we're gonna build a $18 billion stadium and displace the people in Chinatown. That's number one. Number two, all of my Eagle fans out there and the loser Giant fan sitting next to you. the Eagles have not played anybody yet, but they're gonna play somebody tonight.
I know.
So let's not get carried away that we're going to the Super Bowl like we did last year, and then we tanked at the end of the year. Let's see what they do against the Washington team that is owned by the carpetbagger that owns the Sixers. I just wanted to start out with those two issues.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, first of all, Caitlin is going, what she's going to do, she said to me today, she said, whatever you do, make sure you ask me all the stats for the Eagles. She doesn't know as much. I mean, she knows about it, but let me tell you a little bit about, and we're going to get into that, but we talk boxing. She had the heavyweight champ of the world, Tim Witherspoon, on her show in the middle of a ring where she does, it's a boxing, it's a conditioning at a gym. Very cool. So, yeah. But so she and me and her do marathons together.
We do all this stuff together. Triathlons, marathons.
I will tell you, just
because I can't make it doesn't mean I'm not there in spirit.
I did run the Philadelphia Marathon 2012.
Hey, congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. I haven't worked out since.
What's that, Steve?
That was 60 pounds.
Yeah, believe me. Trust me. I believe it or not, I used to run 5 miles a night. I did. I I had hair down to down on my back and all those things, and you know, those were the days. But but having said that, let's talk a little bit about the Eagles first. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I was just saying that Steve Lubscher, I was just talking to somebody on the phone, and a buddy of mine, okay, Butch Bennett, who is the assistant business manager at the Philadelphia Building Trades and a great friend, he's a Dallas Cowboys fan, right? And of course, we rib back and forth, and he's not doing much ribbing lately, right? Mm-mm. But
neither am I. My here today too.
Notice you're very quiet sitting over there.
But here's the interesting thing, it's Caitlin. I know you don't keep up with it this much, but tell me if you at least heard this one. What's it called? 2 weeks ago, when our almost fired head coach. And was running 2-point conversions and not kicking extra points and deciding to go for it on gimme field goals. And I don't care what sport you're in.
I was at that game. That was at the Jaguars.
Yeah. Let me say this. Here's a man whose record is 40-19, which is fantastic. Okay. Record of 5-2. Now, one interception away from getting fired before he hit the. It would have been so unprecedented. If he tried to get fired, I mean, he imploded on national TV. Mm-hmm. It was like he had a coin and he was going, let's see what we should do. Heads, I'm going to kick it. Tails, I'm not. Steve, talk about that, man, because I don't know if you felt what I heard felt, but damn.
Well, they gave up a 20-some point lead. This guy is like the Teflon Don. He's a few losses away from being pushed off the Walt Whitman Bridge. So I don't think he's a very good coach, to be quite frank with you. I don't think I love the Eagles, don't get me wrong, but I'm a realist. And they're not in the class of the Detroit Lions or the Kansas City Chiefs. They're a good team. You got to play who you play. They're probably the best team in the NFC.
East.
The Dallas, East. Excuse me, since, you know, Dallas has imploded, which we all love. But they're not a very good team. They're mediocre at best, and that was proved at the end of the year last year. And it's being proved now, again, giving up leads and interceptions and just sloppy play, which I attribute to the coach.
We'll see. As a long-suffering Giant fan whose team doesn't win, Bill Parcells, he once said, you are what your record. You are what your record is, right? I think the Eagles are 7-2. Young defense, it's getting better. The quarterback is tough. They got some playmakers. And I don't particularly like the Eagles, but I respect them. I do think that the coach, I think he's
knucklehead?
I think he's a knucklehead. I think he's a little bit loose with some of the stuff that he does. He doesn't take the points, and then he's immature a little bit too.
A little bit.
But, yeah, we will see tonight. But, again, who thought that the Commanders would be good? So when we talk about, you know, them not playing anybody yet, NFL is, you know, it's a crapshoot every week.
Well, you know what? Who was it, Jerry Glanville, that said, well, he was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and during the game, you know.
We're quoting a lot of 80s and 90s coaches so far.
I, like, wasn't even born yet, and Joe's looking at me like, right? I'm like.
Me neither.
Wait a second. It was Caitlin that called me beforehand and said, if Steve likes football, make sure you recite that old Jerry Glanville.
Let's go, recite it.
I'm finally
doing it
and you're busting my balls. So he says, this is what he said, though. He's sitting there and a referee blew a couple calls and he goes, you know what? NFL, he goes, you know what that stands for? You keep making calls like that? And the guy says, what? He goes, not for long.
Yeah.
Right? So, Steve, have you ever seen in any sport, anybody almost implode like that on the sideline? Not like a baseball player who's arguing with the umpire, or, you know, like in boxing if the corners. I'm talking about a guy who literally almost cost his own team. It's almost impossible to do that. Okay, just stay out of the way. But have you ever seen a coach make those mistakes and almost, you know, kill his own team?
Yeah. And now I'm going to show my age. You and I are contemporaries with our age. If we go back to a playoff game many, many, many years ago, I think Warren Moon may have been the quarterback.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yes, that did happen. Go ahead.
Biggest lead ever in the NFL in the second half and lost the playoffs.
That was Frank Reich, right?
With that was Frank. It was Frank Reich. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. And when they won the Super Bowl, our offense coordinator was Frank Reich. He was a backup quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
That, yep. And at one point during the game, Buffalo was beating Houston was beating Buffalo 35-7. And Frank Wright gets put in and the Buffalo Bills come back and beat them.
That was a good pull, Matt.
Everybody got fired on the stand. Yeah. Oh my God. It was one of the craziest things. So yeah.
Well, we'll see tonight. We'll see tonight. I mean, listen, we're all Philadelphians except for the carpetbagger sitting next to you that's from New Brunswick.
But
we're all Philadelphians. And we'll see tonight. Tonight's a litmus test. That's what I say. And I'll be watching them. But I have apprehension because I don't think they're as good as, you know, everybody says they are.
Well, we'll see. And by the way, before we move on, I just have two words to say. Ready? And this is, now I'm not like this, but Saquon Barkley.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, he has been quite the pickup for them.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't even been the reason that the Giants have been losing. You know, the Giants drafted a running back, and he's played well, except for fumbling the game away in overtime last week.
Oh, he was the guy that drafted?
Yeah, but he's a rookie. He's played well, but what a pickup for the Eagles. I mean, he's been great for them.
I'm going to say something funny. I'll say something that I really think. I don't think it was a mistake for the Giants.
No, I don't think so either. They were so far away.
They don't have the offensive line right now to be able to do that.
But who needs an offensive line when you could jump and leapfrog a guy backwards?
Did you see that? Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I'll say this, and I remember Caitlin called me right after. She said, Joe, there's only a couple of you that can do stuff like that.
I had unblocked your number to have this conversation with you.
Well, 2 hours ago, she just said, she talks about how you know, how accessible she is, you know, to calls and clients. I said, I've been trying to call you for 6 weeks. You haven't picked up.
Yeah.
And then I find out it's just me. But I said to my wife, the
star
second
six, seven.
Star 6'7". Star 6'7".
Yeah.
I had to work on that. But I said to my wife, as soon as it happened, and I swear to God, I'm like, yes. And it happened in a blink. I said, greatest run. It wasn't even a move. It was an athletic feat of epic proportions.
He's special.
I was sitting right there. I was on like the 20th yard line right there or something. And I'm sorry, like 20th row up. And I looked and I said, did he just do what I think he did?
I know, it was nuts.
And then all of a sudden they start showing it on the replay board. I'm like, he did.
Ironically, it was one of the two greatest plays I'd ever seen. The other one was
Odell.
Odell.
Odell Beckham, the catch.
Beckham. That was that
catch.
That catch, one-handed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, I'll never, I was watching that too. It was like Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
what was
Sunday night.
Sunday night. And I saw that. He reached up with it. He's a little guy, 5'11", right? He must have massive hands, but damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so those are things, I'll never forget those plays. And what the beautiful thing about both of them was, I mean, I've seen a lot of football, but after they did him, even I was kind of proud because I was like, man, they were the greatest players I've ever seen. And everybody else felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You could see there's some clips online as far as his teammates, Saquon's teammates reacting on the sideline.
Steve, what did you think?
Steve could do that, every day.
Hear him.
You.
Me?
Of course. He knows that. You do that in the courtroom every day.
I thought it was spectacular, but the Giants, I know you said doesn't matter. The Giants letting him go, that was just, it was just stupid.
Well, I tell you, you saw the owner of the Giants going, I'm going to lose sleep over this. He must be.
I don't have a problem with them letting him go just because they needed to allocate the money elsewhere, and they, they weren't good anywhere else. It's a bad thing when you let a guy go to your arch rival on national television when the owner basically said it's going to make me sick if he goes to the arch rival here.
Yeah, it is.
Just to dovetail, and I want to talk workers' comp because we have a colleague there, and we need to discuss workers' comp for all of our clients. But I just want to dovetail to my second issue, and that is I read today that the Eagles quarterback is going to donate $100,000 to get air conditioning in the Philadelphia schools. We need to support the police officers, SEPTA. We need to clean our city up, which the mayor is absolutely trying to do, and I support her with that. We need our students to have books or computers if they could, yeah. And we need air conditioners in our school. We don't need a billionaire building a stadium that nobody can get to and displace residents that have lived there for years and generations.
Yeah.
We have issues in Philadelphia that are more important than Joel Embiid and his little sidekick not playing when we're paying them, when they're getting paid millions and millions of dollars. We need to support Philadelphia, not billionaires.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue. There's no question. I will say probably the city hall that the mayor and city council probably were like, I'm dreading this meeting, right? I mean, you're between a rock and a hard place. And so definitely something that is, well, look, I'm a fan of where the ballparks are. You can get there.
It's all down there in one complex. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. You drive down 95, there's some traffic, but, parking is.
Is there not traffic in Center City? Like, it's easier to go straight down 95.
Parking's good. Living in Jersey, it's so easy to get out right on the Walt Whitman out of there. It's also nice having all the stadiums together. The Xfinity Live is nice. I see that they're going to put $15 million into that, too, to kind of bump that up, add some more restaurants, bars. Absolutely. I like where those
on the upside
are.
The Sixers are crushing it. Oh man. But they were,
remember Joe, it's Philadelphia is not New York. New York is a subway city.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia really isn't. And I'm 57 and lived here. Okay? We are commuters. So our colleague lives in Bucks County. I live in Delaware County. My partner lives in New Jersey. We have people coming from Allentown. We have people coming from Delaware. It is the easiest thing to get there, except for 95 a little bit. We have a hub, and they're going to sink tons of money into it, and like my partner said. And they tried to include the Sixers, and this idiot doesn't, he's got to be an outlier. Just not real smart, and I don't support it. And I think we, as I said before, we can stick our money in other places.
It's also fun going down to South Philly, right? Before the games, I went to the Sixers game the other night. Stopped with a friend. We went to Poppy's, good Italian place. Like it's culturally, I like having it there as well.
Listen, it's.
Well, you can double dip too. You can go to the Phillies game and then go to another game that you can just cross the street
and then go to the casino if you wanted to.
You can. It's a great thing.
Which, by the way, I parked in the casino when I went to that Eagle game. That's the first time I've been there. It's a clean, nice property.
Heard it's
that,
nice.
That live. Mm-hmm. I just went down there just to leave, but.
Well,
you see those hotel prices though? They're like $800 a night to stay down in South Philly at the
that's
casino.
Anywhere though,
it's wild.
Well. That's Caitlin Files money. I don't have that kind of money. I did eat down there. I had a meeting down there, and it was delicious.
The prime ribs there now.
Yeah.
Guys, you want to hear us? It is.
Yeah.
You want to hear a segue and a half? Kate, I already used this, so you can't tell.
I'll pretend like it's the first time I'm hearing it.
And act like you're trying. If anybody gets hurt in any of those games, they have great workers' compensation attorneys they can go to. Is that shockingly good?
Yeah, Kate? I haven't heard that before. That was a good one.
Has Joel Embiid called you yet?
No, I said no. We
for work comp.
Yeah.
Well, he's not called me.
Here's
at all.
What we were talking today at her show earlier. I brought it up and I said, listen, if Hurts sprains an ankle, he's going to have a great workers' compensation attorney, you know, to go to, Caitlin Files. And, you know, she did like it then, but now.
I don't know if I liked it. I think I told you to stop manifesting that. I don't want Shaylin to be calling me.
Well, we really don't want that, but I'm just saying. Let's see, sir. Like
not for a sprained ankle, at least.
Oh, Joe.
Valid.
Go ahead there, Steve.
So let's, you know, it's like I'm running the show. It's your show, not my show. But I want to talk about something that's very interesting that has been coming up more and more in workers' compensation.
Let's do it.
So the injured worker is gets injured and is released back to work light duty in the state of New Jersey. The workers' compensation statute stipulates that the employer, if they offer light duty, that employee does the light duty. The law says if the employer cannot offer light duty, then the injured worker stays out of work, temporary light duty. What they are doing, and I don't know if they do this in Pennsylvania, but what they are doing is they're assigning these workers to Habitat for Humanity or a church, and they're getting around the workers' compensation statute per se.
Something that's completely outside the scope of what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Occasionally, totally different.
Correct. So hypothetically, Joe, and I know you used to be an iron worker, but you're an iron worker, and I know they have a contract, so they can't do this, but you're an iron worker, and now they're going to send you over to Habitat for Humanity and sit there and shuffle papers or answer a phone. The statute actually is pretty clear on this, and I know you've met my colleague, Judge Henson, who is a former workers' compensation judge that is with our firm. We are the only firm in the state of New Jersey that has a retired workers' compensation judge working with us. He wrote an excellent brief in a case that I just conferenced where the statute's very specific that when you're released back to light duty, you're supposed to work at the employer so they can make sure that the light duty is complied with. And in addition to that, that the injured worker is in a safe environment. What they're doing is they're farming them out and they're trying to get around the statute, which I don't, again, I don't know. I'll ask my colleague if that's going on in Pennsylvania at all, but it's a farce. And I was in court the other day on this very issue, saying it's against the statute and shouldn't be permitted.
Caitlin.
Yeah, that's not happening in Pennsylvania. As far as I've seen it so far, if there's light duty, it has to be offered within the employer. Now, there's stuff down the line if you get to the, you know, MMI and then you go through a VOC and everything where you might have to do a job that's offered to you out in the general workforce, and it does not have to be vocationally appropriate. But that's you know, years down the road if we're talking about it. But just, you know, hurt at work, light duty, a month or two in, no, Pennsylvania is still hard. It's got to be through the employer.
So if you were working at the refinery, like they would, the real light duty jobs that we would get if you had them was fire watch, okay, and that's if somebody's welding or if they're burning, and you know you'd be underneath there just standing there. But let me ask you a question: when it comes to light duty, if they send you to Habitat for Humanity, I mean, are they still paying you the same rate? Because if I'm working iron work and they want to send me over to Habitat for Humanity and you know, I'm in. You know, like I'm going to.
Well,
I'm,
yeah, okay. So let me answer that. So a couple things. What Verizon was doing in years past is, say, a gentleman or a lady works in Camden County. They were making them drive to Hackensack, New Jersey to do light duty, and we had to put a stop to that. So this is a variation of that. But the issue is the workers' compensation statute in New Jersey, the maximum temporary disability rate, and I know Pennsylvania is greater, is $1,131. So if you're an iron worker, you don't want to be out of work
for too long,
or a high wage earner. Because you're losing a ton of money. So those people, and I've had electric workers that just go back to work a day after surgery because they don't want to get paid the temporary disability rate. But it's against the statute because technically the light duty is to be offered by the employer. And this is, again, why, and we've been beating this for how many years, Joe, on this show, this is why people out there need to get an attorney. What Home Depot does and what Amazon, the criminals at Amazon do, is they will, let's just say a young lady works at Amazon on the night shift and she gets hurt. They offer her light duty during the day. Well, that's against the law.
Right.
There's a specific case right on point with this, but they still try to get away with it by arguing that it's not a Supreme Court case or an appellate division case. And what I'm saying to people out there is you can't navigate these things on your own. I have been doing this for 31 years. I know the statute and the case law cold. And you can't be out there dealing with these issues with the insurance company on your own. You need assistance.
And let me jump in there, Steve, because I have a case also with the adjuster on the other side. He's a notorious adjuster in New Jersey because he's such a pain in the butt for you know, the injured workers. And again, these are people that go to work not expecting to have their lives uprooted, right? They go to work expecting to work the day. They get injured and boom, their life is completely uprooted. You know, and the workers' compensation system is supposed to work for the workers. So it's a liberally constructed statute that's supposed to bring all the workers under its protective umbrella. That's really the public policy behind the workers' compensation statute. I have an adjuster on the other end of a client who's currently out of work because the doctors, which again in New Jersey, the insurance company get to designate initially, those doctors have kept her within restriction. She's a host and works in a kitchen. And the employer can't accommodate those restrictions. This guy, this adjuster, is paying her sporadically. We've had to go to court. I've had multiple orders entered on the case, orders to enforce entered on the case. Now what he wants to do is he wants to send her to New Jersey Vocational Rehab while she's currently out on light duty. Again, you know, we're about a year into her medical treatment where they're trying to do whatever they can to treat her conservatively so she doesn't need to undergo surgery. But this adjuster wants to try to send her to the Division of Vocational Rehab to see if there's anything else that she can do at this point rather than pay her weekly rate. You know, and it's wrong. But a lot of times, if you don't have the right workers' comp attorney, these adjusters are going to run right through you.
Okay, we'll talk.
And the other, adjust that in Pennsylvania also. That's important. Thanks.
Yeah, if you would, you know, how does that work in PA?
Yeah, so I mean, Pennsylvania isn't as bad, at least hearing your guys' story, that it's typically, I haven't had to fight an adjuster about, hey, you can't offer light duty not within the employer.
Yeah.
They're pretty good, but they're more just, hey, here's a job, we'll pay your rate, sit there and do nothing. But they do those hours when you're talking about night shifts or just messing with people's time if they can get to work or not.
I've heard of stories where they would have somebody sitting, you know, in a room.
Do nothing.
And I don't do nothing, but like just, you know, like the same repetitive, you know, something absolutely that would drive anybody crazy. What, first of all, what is the policy in PA? If, say, somebody gets injured on the job, Caitlin, and, you know, they asked, you know, okay, they say, you know, they're going to put you on light duty. Okay. Are you required to actually, you know, give it a shot?
Give it the good old college try, yeah. Because then if you don't, the judge is going to say, well, your doctor said just no use of your right arm. They gave you a job where you can do that, just the left arm, and you didn't even go try it. We're going to stop your benefits.
And so have you ever seen extreme situations where it's, like, ridiculous that they even, you know, asked somebody if they could, you know, didn't ask them, but just said you got to go.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's like there's no job to be done, but I just say show up, and then if you can't stay for, you know, 10 minutes, you're having problems, go to your doctor and get a note.
Joe, I
have had clients where they will tell them, you can sit in a room and look at the wall.
Exactly.
Or
do nothing.
You can, you can read the newspaper,
but
or you can
you.
Look at the TV. We're paying you. And when I tell clients, listen, law says if they accommodate the light duty, the judge isn't going to touch this with a 10-foot pole because they're accommodating the light through. Now, people are not happy about that, but there's things in our law that are not perfect. I mean, one of the things, and again, our colleague can address this in Pennsylvania, one of the things that we see on a regular basis that is a humongous problem in New Jersey is if you have to go to see the workers' compensation doctor, Joe, or you have to do aqua therapy, and they only offer the aqua therapy at a certain time of the day, my client calls me and says, well, I was told that my employer is not going to pay me to go to the aqua therapy or the doctor's appointment, and I'm not going to get workers' comp. And believe it or not, it's a flaw in our statute. Mm-hmm. They don't have to pay. So the client says to me, wait a minute, I got ran over by the forklift. It wasn't even my fault. We don't have fault in workers' compensation in New Jersey. And you're telling me these people don't have to pay me for me to recover? And believe it or not, it's a flaw in our statute. It's a huge problem. So what ends up happening is you have to schedule that aqua therapy around the schedule, which is not a good conversation to have with a client.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what are the – so in – but in New Jersey, let's take a little comparison here. So it's, in New Jersey, when it comes to medical, let's talk about the differences, okay? In Pennsylvania, there's regular standards that the employer has to meet in order for you to require somebody to go to their doctor. What is that, Caitlin?
So there's three things they have to do in order for you to be essentially required to go to the work comp doctor, but you're really not even required. It's just the first 3 months, if they do these things, then they don't have to pay your doctor the first 3 months. You still go see them and use your private health or out of pocket, whatever. But they have to have given you this form called the rights and responsibilities at the time of hire and the time of injury. You have to have signed it at both times. So if you don't have that paper signed at the time of hire, out of luck. If you didn't sign anything at the time of your injury, out of luck.
How, I've on jobs as an iron worker, we would go out and sign all kinds. You get in there, they have you sign up, okay? Because it could be a week long job.
Sure.
One of those might be the work comp paper. But I can honestly say, and I've talked to a lot of injured workers, how often in PA does somebody actually sign when they get hurt? Like, I'm not in your shoes. You've done this 1,000 times, but how often does it happen a lot or hardly?
Rare. So they also have to have a list of doctors posted. Mm-hmm. So those three things have to be done to even try to get that 90-day rule in PA enforced. The thousands of cases I've handled once, they have to prove it. So they've proved it once.
And what are the standards of those doctors? What if, for example,
standards of the comp doctors?
But what I'm saying is, say the job's in Levittown.
Okay.
I get injured. I sign the document. I probably don't remember, but when I signed up. Okay. Now I'm signing it again. But these doctors are in Philadelphia. I live in Bucks County. The job is in Levittown. Okay. Is there, and what if I have a brain injury, but these are, different other types of doctors that don't apply to that. How does that work?
So it has to be essentially a reasonable doctor. So if you're talking about they're only offering Philadelphia doctors, you can get transportation. But that's really rare. I've never seen on the list of panel doctors provided in Bucks County the doctors are not Bucks County doctors.
Oh, so they're normally...
They're normally Bucks County doctors. They're going to be around the corner for you.
And if I have a foot issue where I need a podiatrist, but they don't have a podiatrist on that list, what happens?
They're just sending you to a general ortho. They're not sending you to something special. Okay. So there's a list of panel doctors. A lot of doctors don't even realize they're on the panel, but they'll get sent there, and you're probably not going to see a specialist.
Steve, how does that work when somebody gets injured in New Jersey? There is no list or anything like that. How's that work?
There's no list, Steve. I'll take this. So the law stipulates, and the law has been in place for over 100 years, that the workers' compensation insurance company, they get to direct or control medical treatment and care so long as that treatment and care is reasonable and necessary.
Is diagnostics usually on that list early?
An X-ray.
Okay.
An X-ray. So normally what the public policy behind that was, the thought process was, okay, it's going to be great. By allowing the employer to choose the doctors, it's going to be a win-win situation. It's going to be a win for the employee because the employer is going to choose the best doctors that they can, which will get that employee the best medical treatment, which will benefit the employee, and get the employee back to work as soon as possible, which will benefit the employer. As we know, insurance companies, what are they in it for? They're in it to save money, right? So they're going to try to treat you initially with, you know, as my colleague, Mr. Matarazzo on the line, likes to call chop shop, right? They're going to send you to a patient first or an urgent care, a Concentra. This, you know, regardless of what your injury is, you know, unless it's an emergency, but they're going to send you to one of those doctors, and those doctors are going to try oftentimes to get you better with some pain medication and possibly some physical therapy. That way, the insurance companies end up weeding out a lot of people because those people go to these medical providers, don't even necessarily see a doctor, see a nurse practitioner, but they trust whoever's in that white coat, right? So if that person goes to these facilities, they think they're seeing a doctor or they're seeing a nurse practitioner, and that medical provider is going to say, okay, you know what? You're going to be fine. You have a low back sprain, you know, despite the fact that you have tingling and numbness radiating down to your, you know, right foot, that you're limping, you'll be fine. You hear some medication. Okay, well, I guess, you know, if the doctor told me I'll be fine, I trust the doctor, so I should be okay.
So Steve Matarazzo, I'm going to pose something at you, and I had I talked a little bit about it this morning, but an iron worker who'd been working steady for 30 to 35 years with the same company. Now, that is somebody who's loyal to that company. He's a good guy. I know him. I get a call from the business manager. The guy's got a problem. He actually got hurt. He's having massive problems with his neck, his shoulder, and a couple other things. Now, when you've worked for somebody for 35 years, they call that a steady Eddie, okay? Mm-hmm. You want to work for that company. You like that company. It's one of our solid contractors. But he gets sent to a Concentra, okay? And he poses a question, okay, to the non-doctor. It was a physician's assistant. And this has been going on for 2 weeks, and he's not getting any better. They gave him, of course, like Steve Lubscher said, a X-ray, okay. And he finally, this is 2 weeks in, he goes, "Listen, guys," or goes to the doctor, "When am I getting my MRI? You're sending me for therapy, and we don't know what this is." And the actual therapist, I mean, the physician's assistant said, "I'm not sending you to that." Okay.
But I mean, let me address,
please.
This sends my little 5'3" apoplectic self insane. This is the insurance company sticking up people's keisters. Okay. And I have a gentleman right now that is listening to this show. He does religiously. He has a brain injury. He fell out of an attic. And the insurance, he's been getting medical treatment. One of the physicians said he needs to see certain physicians, neurologic physicians. And the insurance company did nothing. And this is a guy that's got a brain injury because all they're interested in doing is saving money. So I filed an application. It's called a motion with the court, and got a court order for him to get the appropriate treatment. What people need to understand out there is you need guidance. You need somebody to help you. Half the time, and I've said this before, you got a back injury, they send you to a hand doctor, or they're not even going to send you anywhere like Amazon does. They send you to the chop shop at Amcare, right in the Amazon. Don't you think they have a vested interest in sending you back to the line at Amcare?
Right.
So what you need is you need somebody that can say, "No, you're not seeing the correct doctor," or "No, you have tingling and numbness in your foot, or you're having incontinence issues. You need to see a specialist." We step right in. Mm-hmm. I don't care who the insurance company is sending you to. If it's not the right doctor and they're not doing the right thing, to hell with them. Mm-hmm. We're going to step right in. I'm going to set you up to see a top-notch neurosurgeon, orthopedic surgeon, spine surgeon, shoulder surgery surgeon, and we're going to get an evaluation with a top-notch doctor. I'm going to spend my money, and we're going to go into court, and we're going to fight.
Okay.
We're going to get that person the proper medical treatment.
Okay, so Caitlin, that's what I'm right there. Have you ever heard that conversation from a New Jersey workers' compensation? Now, it's not that you might have, but I'm just saying, I have it. Like, I mean, we sat there and we weren't joking. We, you know, I said this, you guys know me by now. when I worked on the Walt Whitman Bridge, and, you know, it wasn't a joke. They said, crawl to the PA side, you know,
right.
because of the medical. Mm-hmm. But that right there gave me hope that you got a shot. In your world, okay, there are, and I'm talking to Caitlin in regards to Pennsylvania, okay, there can be several scenarios. One, if somebody's got a collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. And if they do, obviously it's important for the attorney to, but when somebody gets caught into a situation where that scenario, but they're in PA, okay, they're getting screwed around, what do you do when they can't get the proper diagnostics and therefore, and they're still hurt after 3 weeks to a month where there's clearly something wrong and they're going to one of these chop shops, like Steve said, what is your next move?
So, I mean, that's why it's so important to have the medical referral network so that you can call and say, hey, I got someone here. I need you to see them immediately. I mean, thinking everything that's being said here is so accurate about these chop shops. But even thinking further down the line in litigation, we've lost cases where the judge relies on that first report from Concentra and saying this doctor saw them first. So we're going to take their opinion as the best opinion. And they said they're fine. So even just having that, I never want them to go to the employer's doctor. I don't care what it does to getting the medical bills paid, because that first report, a lot of judges put a ton of weight on the first medical opinion that they see.
But you see, and I keep bringing my buddy's case up because it's such a stereotypical, here's a guy, that, and this is what happens on jobs. And if you're listening, this is, you got three great attorneys on the show here. And the first thing somebody does when they, especially when there's a loyalty and they have no experience to the company, is go to the boss and say, where do I go?
Where do I go? Mm-hmm. And then they send you to one of their Concentra's, urgent care, one of the people that they know. The best thing you can do is call a lawyer. And then they'll be like, I always say, don't go. I don't care what your boss is saying. Do not go there. Did you sign anything? No, you don't have to go there. Go to this doctor instead. And the doctors that we know have relationships with, they're gonna get them in the next 24 hours because I want that appointment. I want my doctor to see them first, even if it's just Joe, like a primary care doctor.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing that happens, Joe, is these insurance companies will even, let's get past the urgent care, the MedExpress. These insurance companies will choose doctors that will do anything possible.
Okay.
Say the person's MMI or doesn't need treatment to save the insurance company's money. There is a gentleman in New Jersey who went to Harvard Medical School, and he wouldn't recommend treatment for his own mother to help the insurance company. And when the insurance companies bring his report into court and say, Judge, we got the Harvard guy here. I have a few judges that say, I don't even want to look at the piece of paper. I know what he's going to say.
Let me jump in on that,
so
Steve.
Go ahead.
No, I have a funny anecdote about the same doctor. I'm not going to name the doctor.
Let's make him famous.
but on a case, so again, the insurance company, generally speaking, in Jersey, they get to direct or control medical, but we could step in and file the appropriate motions or applications. So the insurance company is providing medical treatment with a reputable spine surgeon. That spine surgeon recommends, after some physical therapy, recommends an MRI study of the neck and back. The insurance company says, nope, we want a second opinion, right? Which they're entitled to do. Who do they set the second opinion up with? This doctor that Steve is saying, okay? I then file a motion to compel the MRI study as recommended by doctor number one. They send her to doctor number two. Doctor number two says, you know what? I think that she's perfectly fine. She doesn't need these diagnostic studies. She could return to work full duty. So then I go to court. I fight that out. I get a court order for the MRI studies. The MRI studies of the neck and back, they both light up like a Christmas tree, right? There's diagnostic issues all over. There's disc pathology all over both the neck and back. She goes back to doctor number one for further treatment. Doctor number one says, okay, you need a low back surgery. The insurance company, as part of the court order, they were allowed to send back to doctor number two, this guy that Steve was bringing up, for a second opinion after the MRI study. This guy now changes his tune, says, no, she absolutely should not get the low back surgery first, because if she does, she runs the risk of paralyzation. She needs to get both the low back and the neck addressed. The neck needs to be addressed first. And by the way, none of it's related to the work accident, despite the fact that she was perfectly fine. It's all related to pre-existing conditions.
Okay.
You know what's infuriating about that just as a human being? Mm-hmm. Every doctor, every single doctor takes a Hippocratic oath to say, yep, first do no harm.
Right.
And you hear these stories of you're risking paralyzation for another human because you want to be dictated by the insurance company. It is infuriating. It's infuriating.
Right. So, you know.
She is 100% correct. The best thing said today. Because if you ask any surgeon, and we're talking about backs and necks right this second, the tingling and numbness that the injured worker feels in their upper extremities, that people, if you go to lectures or you read literature, they say they're like little fiber optic phone cables almost. And if that nerve just keeps getting worn on, sometimes it doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so these insurance companies, and I can't say what I really want to say, so I'll be polite. These insurance companies will pull these people's chains, okay, and string them out as long as possible not to get the appropriate medical treatment. When these people are in extremis, you as an attorney need to step in, have them see a fine physician, and file the damn application with the court to get your client medical treatment. But what I'm telling people out there is you need somebody like the three of us to help. You can't navigate this system on your own. It's impossible.
Okay, so it's, having said that, I'm about to bring up an attorney's name, and I've had him on two or three shows, and he's the first personal injury attorney in PA that I've heard on any of our shows, which go back about 8 years, who sues panel doctors regularly for medical malpractice. Exactly what you just said, Caitlin Files. And let me just, we only got 10 minutes left, but I do want to ID the show. You're listening to the Matarazzo and Loops, your show here on WWDB Talk 860. Caitlin Files of Files Law is our guest. It is Caitlin Files Day here at WWDB.
National holiday.
She has did her show at 10 o'clock in Matarazzo and Loopshire.
And what a last name for a lawyer, too.
It's really just worked out that's well for me.
Wait a minute. Didn't your last name used to be McIntosh? No, but so this guy's name's Aaron Freewald. You know Aaron?
I've heard of him.
Okay. Well, Aaron has...
he was a guest on our show
when we talked about that. And he on their show, he talked about holding them to standards.
Yeah,
I've often wondered why it doesn't happen more often. All the nightmares that you guys are talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how these clowns go home and look in the air and brush their... They should all have bad teeth because they can't look in the mirror.
I'm telling you, this case, it was ridiculous to me. Right? I mean, you see this person twice. The first time you say, perfectly fine, no need for anything, no need for the diagnostic studies, return to work full duty. Guts the diagnostic studies, now you need both neck and back surgery, or you run the risk of paralyzation, but again, none of it's related to the work injury, right? Needless to say, we filed the application, she's getting, you know, authorized medical treatment with the correct doctor, but oftentimes, if you don't have the right attorneys to fight for you, you're going to be stuck with these opinions.
We've talked about that earlier today, the dabbling. You guys are, you know, it's funny. I find it amazing. Mm. Here's an analogy. We're talking about people who have, you know, they have, you know, they've worked for their employer for a long time. They care about, you know, their employer. They have, I mean, they might even feel like their family. They've been working for them 30 years. Okay. And maybe, you know, a little less, whatever, but, and they get so mistreated. So then, because they're trying to do it on their own, we've talked to, as we all know, in this extremely, I mean, I've been doing these shows for such a long time and I really enjoy, you know, helping people and I believe in what you guys are doing, but I can imagine if somebody tried to do this on their own, we have talked to great personal injury attorneys that we're all close with, who have all said workers' comp is not an area you can dabble with.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so if other great attorneys who are personal injury attorneys, okay, really good. I mean, guys that are crackerjacks, million-dollar settlements and verdicts all day long, and they've looked at you know, they've looked right in your eyes and have said, I can't dabble in that. It's too complicated. How can a regular person do it? Like, you know, I mean, it's such a specialized area, and it's criminal what's going on to these people because lives are absolutely destroyed. Talk about that, Steve.
So let me make it simple. When you get me, you get my cell phone number, you get my email, you get my office number. I'm in court during the day, but I respond to everybody, everybody. In fact, I represent your colleague that emailed me, I think, at 12 a.m. one night, and I emailed him back and emailed you back. You referred him to me.
Yep.
So it's a 24/7 business. I don't hide behind legal assistants and the front desk. You get me. I'm the little pit bull that will get something done. These insurance companies are here to hurt these people, screw these people. We stop it.
And Caitlin, you said today something I thought was really poignant and touching. I thought, talking about, you know, emotionally being with your clients. Like, in other words, you know, the good news that you get to give, but you've laughed and cried with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's where you get this fierceness you're hearing from Steve is it starts with, we talked about this earlier, it's compassion. It's mm-hmm. the compassion you feel for your client. You are not going to be a good personal injury lawyer if you do not have compassion. Mm-hmm. You just won't. You can't be a robot and do this. I mean, you can. You'll be a bad personal injury lawyer. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the compassion, if you don't feel the empathy for your client, if you don't want to go in there and bash some heads that are mistreating your client, then you're not doing them justice. You're not doing good legal representation.
And as a workers' comp—
Just real quick on that. Sorry, Stevie.
No, you're good.
And she will attest to this also. I submit to you folks out there, just like there's bad orthodontists and bad drivers on I-95 and the Schuylkill or bad doctors, there are a ton of bad lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
You people need to research and look who you are getting to represent you. Because if you come into my world and you're an attorney that isn't respected by that court and that other lawyer or that insurance company, your attorney's going to get taken to the cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do 24/7 workers' comp. I've been doing it for 31 years. And we make sure the injured worker gets medical, time out of work, and by the way, a little different than Pennsylvania, a settlement with the right to reopen the case in certain situations where you can get future medical. You need assistance, people.
Joe, you know, and you brought this up by talking about the dabblers, right? And Steve, he didn't raise it right now. He kind of did. But, you know, he oftentimes raises a good analogy. If you have a neck injury, you're not going to a foot doctor. Right.
I mean, I do all the time.
Well, you shouldn't.
It explains a lot.
Different topic.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't. We'll talk about that after the show.
Where's Alexis Crandall with the psychologist? Right.
Yeah.
But you know, if you have a workers' comp injury or if you have a work related injury, don't go to a bankruptcy lawyer. Right. Don't go to a contracts lawyer. You need a dedicated workers' comp specialist, like Steve says, that does this 24/7. That this is all they do. Like Caitlin, like Steve, like myself, to fight for you because I don't care. You could hire, you know, the biggest and best and most expensive personal injury law firm out there. If they're not familiar with the New Jersey workers' compensation system and the nuances in that system, they're getting, like Steve said, taken to the cleaners.
Let's do this. We don't have any time left. I know there's no out-of-pocket cost for your services, and that's so important.
Correct. Absolutely. You know, we don't get paid unless you guys do.
Same with you, Caitlin.
Exactly, yes.
Let's do this. Let's go around the horn. We only have a minute and a half left. Caitlin Files, anybody wants to get in touch with you in Pennsylvania for workers' compensation or Social Security disability?
Sure. Phone number is 215-987-6452, and we're all over social media for Files Law Office.
Steve Matarazzo, your contact information, sir?
Cell phone number, 609-432-4668.
And Mr. Lucia?
Law offices of Matarazzo and Loubser. That's mlworkerscomplaw.com. Office number 856-843-8403.
And we just, you know, listen, what is evident to me, first of all, one of the reasons we do these shows, and I truly believe in what we're doing, is you make a good point. There are, you know, so if nobody's ever had an attorney, and a lot of these, if you're working for a company, when you have the luxury of working for a labor union, you're going to find, you know, there's going to be good relationships there for the most part, okay? But you never, you know, if a lot of people, the first time they go look for an attorney is when they get injured in work. And can you imagine, you know, and believe me, not everybody can get in a union, so I get it. It's not, you know, but a lot, that poor son of a gun who doesn't have access to even conversations in his work, that can, you know, find a refer him to a good lawyer. And this is what this show is all about. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Matarazzo and Loubser show here on WWDB Talk 860. We want to thank Caitlin Files for being our guest.
Thank you for having me on.
She's fantastic. My spending pleasure. The day together. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. We want to thank Tyler, our producer, Steve Matarazzo, and of course, Steve Loubser. And of course, Michelle Matarazzo for making it really all happen. But yeah, listen, the secret sauce, just so you know, Caitlin Files is running the show back.
I saw her CC'd on the email. I know who's running the show.
You're damn right. You're damn right. On behalf of Matarazzo, I'm a little sure, Caitlin Files, and everybody on our panel, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Joe Dougherty.